Sometimes the last act of leading is leaving.
Mm.
Knowing when it's time for you.
That's great.
Where you're not the right leader anymore.
Yeah.
To step aside and make room for somebody who views this as their highest and best opportunity, who's going to bring that energy, that excitement. And so I had to sort of look myself in the mirror and say, hey, you know, it's time.
This is the Insurance Technology Podcast, where we bring interesting people from across the insurance ecosystem to discuss and debate technology's impact on the industry. Join us each episode for insights and best practices from industry stewards and tomorrow's innovators. Now, here's your host, Reed Holsworth.
Welcome to the Insurance Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Reed Holsworth. In this episode, we're back with Taylor Rhodes, CEO of Applied Systems, aka my boss. In this episode, we're going to get into all things Applied, the future of Applied, what's been going on at Applied, and then we're going to get into a really great discussion on leadership. Stay tuned. Really good stuff.
So what happened after Rackspace? Sorry.
After 11 years at Rackspace, I looked myself in the mirror literally one morning. I wasn't planning on leaving. I said, man, you don't have any more good ideas for this company. You need to make way for someone who has fresh vision, fresh legs, fresh energy. And you need to step aside. And there's a book, I stole this quote, and I can't remember the author, but it was a great quote. It said, sometimes the last act of leading is leaving. Knowing when it's time for you.
That's great.
Where you're not the right leader anymore.
Yeah.
To step aside and make room for somebody who views this as their highest and best opportunity, who's going to bring that energy, that excitement. And so I had to sort of look myself in the mirror and say, hey, you know, it's time. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do after that. I had some thoughts. I knew I didn't want to be an infrastructure as a service anymore, IaaS.
Yeah.
Look, we built that industry. I mean, yeah, we were totally in it.
100%.
I had this sort of thought. I wanted to go up to the SaaS layer, the software layer, to learn some different things. And along came, you know, an opportunity to join a vertical software company here in Chicago at the time called SMS Assist. It was focused on the real estate facilities management space. I know, super sexy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But in all reality, you think about these really big industries. Real estate is the world's largest asset class, right? It's everywhere. And the process of getting something fixed in a building or maintained in a building is opaque, full of cheating, inefficient, often not done well. And it's very costly for the real estate owners, whether that's somebody who owns corporate real estate or if you're, you know, in a rental home or what have you. And so this company had sort of discovered this massive industry with a big problem and building a technology platform that allowed opportunity to understand what a job should cost and which zip code, unite that job with the right service provider. And so joined that company and spent a few years there, helped them grow a lot, helped them get to a point where, you know, the company transitioned into a different stage. But then I also, like, no disrespect to that company at all. I learned a lot there, but I realized that wasn't a mission that was too exciting to me. You know, at Rackspace, I used to get yelled at by the CTO of major technology companies. At SMS, I'd get yelled at by a regional facilities manager from Chili's.
Literally.
Because the guy didn't show up to fix the oven on time, okay? And I was like, man, that is a job for somebody, but not for me. And so, you know, I have to be excited about what I'm doing every day.
Yeah.
So while we learned a lot, and we actually built a really strong software platform, I got to learn a ton about software in the cloud. It made me a better product leader. I just realized the mission wasn't for me. And so it was time to, again, like recognize that and step aside and let somebody who loved that mission take it over.
So then.
Along came Applied.
There it is.
Yeah.
Applied Systems.
Yeah. This is my third company in a long career, 20 plus years.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome, man.
I don't jump around. I tend to want to find, you know, that sort of middle stint at SMS was the shortest I've ever worked anywhere.
Yeah.
But and now, you know, 5 years in here at Applied, I tend to want to find something that I can put my heart into, that intrigues me, that I believe is a worthy mission, where I can build a great team and work with people I want. And then as long as I'm learning and we're continuing to do great things on the way, I want to be here. So along came Applied. And at first, you know, like everybody, on no offense, but I was like, insurance. I mean, I don't know anything about insurance at all. I don't know anything about insurance technology. But as I started studying the space, it was interesting. You know, first of all, insurance is ubiquitous, right? It's in everyone's lives. Whether you think about it or not, you can't do anything without insurance. You can't buy a car. You can't buy a home. You can't start a small business. You can't get a loan.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking, wow, it does touch everyone's lives. And as I started doing my homework on the company and the industry, I started talking to a lot of people in the insurance agency and broker space, and just finding out that, like, man, insurance is an underserved industry in terms of technology capability. Mm-hmm. It's just behind. Mm-hmm. A lot of the way that they would describe the systems and tools they had to work with was like, man, and then we have to enter all this data again, and then we got to email a form off somewhere, and then we got to wait for a long time to get an answer back. And in the meantime, our customers, our clients, our end insured are having wonderful digital experiences outside of the insurance industry. And then they come back and they're like, why do yours suck so bad? Mm-hmm. And it just, I just felt this sort of notion, like at Rackspace and at SMS, I got a chance to play a role in digital transformation for other industries. And I thought, mm-hmm. that's the transferable knowledge here. I think I can bring expertise to this industry about digital transformation. How do you enable better business models through the use of technology? And I thought, that's what I can bring. I'll have to learn a lot about insurance, but Applied had so many people who were deep in insurance. And I mm-hmm. felt like, okay, I can learn from those folks. What I can bring is this experience thinking about better business models enabled through technology. And I signed up.
Here you are.
Here I am. They haven't fired me yet.
How long have you been here at Applied now?
Almost 5 years.
Jeez, that's always been
almost 5 years. It's going fast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, same, I guess.
Crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah. You got here right before me.
Right before you, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we first had lunch together. I first met you.
I'll never forget that.
I thought, oh, man, this guy's a pirate.
You still say that.
Yeah, that's my nickname for you. Reed the Pirate. We can talk about why that is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I remember that conversation, you know, for the listeners. I mean, it was after the acquisition of Tech Canary, and we were all here, and you know, I wasn't really happy. Wasn't really doing much here, a lot. And, you know, we kind of, we had a mission and we completed the mission, and it's okay. Now what? And, I remember we sat, I learned that you were going to become the CEO of Applied. I reached out to you on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And I will say this about you. You are really good at responding.
Yeah.
Like, period. You know, to anybody. You are. Yeah. You are that guy. And so you just, boom, came back to me and we went and had lunch. And it was like an hour long lunch and we sat there for half the day. And I basically came there to tell you that I was going to leave and go do other things. And,
yeah.
And you asked me to stay.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know if that was a good decision or a bad one to be determined.
I'll tell you guys offline. But no, the deal was, I remember you used a phrase with me that really stuck with me. You're like, man, at Tech Canary, we were on a mission and we were going 100 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I've been put in the school zone, right? Mm-hmm. I go 10 miles an hour. And like, there's so much more we can be doing. And I just want to state for the record, Applied took a lot of heat at the time for the Tech Canary acquisition.
Oh, yeah.
I got here after that, okay? So that was not my decision.
Yes.
But I'm glad we made it. And a lot of people were wondering why. Why did Applied? Was it a good decision or a bad decision mm-hmm. for the industry? And you and I started talking about the need for Applied to rediscover innovation, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You know, Applied had been around for 35 years at that time, had reached a level of success in the industry, and it had done some amazing things along the way, right? To include inventing the first management system, to include a lot of things that were great for the industry. But I think at the time, with absolutely zero disrespect for the people who were here before I got here and the people who were here when I got here, I think the company had just lost some of that innovation spark, right?
Yeah.
You were feeling it.
100%.
And it wasn't because we didn't have caring people who really mm-hmm. cared about their clients, who really cared about the industry.
Yep.
In fact, to the contrary, I found we have really caring people mm-hmm. who Absolutely. Really cared about their customers, really cared about the industry. And they were frustrated too that maybe some of the innovation mm-hmm. opportunity wasn't on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that lunch. I remember walking away from it going, okay, I'm brand new to this company. I'm brand new to this industry. I like the guy and I like his spirit and I think I can learn from him. But man, is the company going to accept that? Mm. Are they going to want to embrace an entrepreneur? Are they going to want to, or are they going to want to kill him? You know, and I'm the brand new guy. And it gets back to that leadership lesson. Just because you're the CEO somewhere, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter mm-hmm. initially. People don't, they might say yes to your face, but if you don't learn the business, learn them, care about them, figure out, you know, what your contributions are going to be, they won't follow you. Mm-hmm. So I remember coming to Applied and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, I'm the CEO. But man, it was not, I gotta be honest, it wasn't the most warm reception I've ever had in my life. you know, these were people who were deep industry experts, mm-hmm. and they're like, what the heck do you know about insurance? And so I had to go about, you know, figuring out who's who in the zoo, mm-hmm. where can I add initial value and help and earn some credibility? What's the vision for Applied that's going to get people to swing from like, hey, we're skeptics on are we ever going to be innovative mm-hmm. and winning, to being like, yes, I believe. And all of that kind of ran straight into my interactions with you. Because you'll remember, it took a little while for me to get my feet under me.
And
out, like, what could I do with Reed here
yeah.
that would help me in my mission to say, we are planning to win. We're back on the field and have an innovation agenda. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go become a client-centric culture again that is actually doing good things on behalf of our customers in the industry. Mm-hmm. And then I asked you, you know, to take on the CEO role for Ivins mm-hmm. because we agreed that was a tremendously strategic asset.
Yep.
It had kind of lost its innovation mm-hmm. mojo a while ago,
yep.
but had tremendous potential to do good for the industry. And I said, the reason I call you a pirate, right? Remember I told you entrepreneurs are special people because they always see something that is wrong and they have the courage to go do something about it and make mm-hmm. it better. And, you know, my pirate analogy there is you were out, you know, sailing your ship around and boarding and burning, you know, the boats in the industry that needed to be burned. And that's what entrepreneurs do, right?
Yeah.
They're dissatisfied with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, let me pause there. But that, like when I first got here, I thought this company needs mm-hmm. to believe again that we will innovate. We will experiment. We will introduce new things. We will go take risk to do good things for our clients. We will become a place where you actually can be excited about the work you do. And that was what I saw.
It was. And, you know, you asked me, you said, when you asked me to stay, you didn't say, hey, I want you to stay. You said, just give me 6 months.
Yeah.
Give me 6 months. Yeah. Give me some time. And I said, okay. You know, it might not even that, 90 days or something. Just like, you know, let's see.
More like 6 months.
Yeah, it was probably 6 months, whatever. Yeah. And, but anyways, It was tough. It was tough. It was tough for, you know, a couple of years, I'd say,
yeah,
right?
It was
first
a tough
couple
transition.
Years. Yeah.
You know, the company had been so successfully led by Reed French, my predecessor.
Yep.
And Reed was an amazing CEO for Applied, did a lot of wonderful things for mm-hmm. the company. But his style and my style couldn't probably be more different.
Yeah.
And so the Same. Company wasn't necessarily directly ready for me in my style.
Right.
And it just took work. It took work to get people bought in. It took work to get people. And you know, you had to change some of the team as well, right? And just,
yeah.
And because some people like to play for a certain coach and that's their coach.
Yep.
And they're comfortable in that coach's system. They can be wildly successful. Then a new coach comes along with a different system. And some people are honest enough to say, hey, you know what? Thanks a lot. This isn't my system. Mm-hmm. I'd like to leave. And so we also had to do a lot of building and bringing, you know, people mm-hmm. into the company who came from non-insurance backgrounds, but very relevant technology and services backgrounds. And again, who viewed this as their highest and best opportunity, who would bring that energy and that vigor and that drive and that curiosity to it. Mm-hmm. So there was a long period of time where we had to like get the team right.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, you and I talk about teams all the time. If you don't get the team right, you can't do anything else. Mm-hmm. So first job always is figure out what the team needs to be and then build the team.
Well, you have a great team now and it's fairly, most everybody's new on the team.
New
within
the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's some folks now who are getting to their third and fourth anniversaries, but there's also some folks who are still in their 1 to 2 years, but, so they're learning the insurance industry mm-hmm. And bringing, you know, what they've done in a great way at other companies to this industry.
I'll tell you what, this company is a completely different company than when you and I met for lunch that day.
Yeah.
Completely different. And I think the industry knows that and, they feel it. And I mean, you know, I think for me, when it really came together, was not this last Applied Net, but the one before in Nashville.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, just the buzz and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, this last Applied Net's just continuing that, but it just, you could feel the culture and the difference and just everybody. And it's just, you know.
Well, you know, we say this all the time here. It's like, when your clients win, you win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep that North Star and you really mean it, mm-hmm. then you use that simple mindset, like, when your clients win, we win. Mm-hmm. If you help your clients win, we win. They will trust you as a partner and you will benefit from them winning. And that sounds so simple, but you have to really examine every decision to be like, how does this help our clients win? How does it help this industry become a better place where more agencies and brokers and carriers are thriving? And that's just the mindset that I think I've strived hard to bring to this company.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, it challenges us all the time to examine our decisions in a good way. Mm-hmm. What's the value of this decision? Like, should we say yes to this? Should we say no to this? And so I think that's a key element of really the reinvigoration mm-hmm. of Applied. And also the, like I told the market after a year or so here, I said, hey, I want us to become a humbler company. We don't know everything. Mm-hmm. We don't have the best answer to everything. We need to be out listening more. We need to be engaging with our clients in new ways. We need to be really thinking about the ecosystem and talking to people about what they need and what they want to see and being humble enough to also say, hey, man, some of our stuff stinks.
Yeah,
you know, we have some stuff out there that's old, that hasn't been modernized, that needs to be better. Mm-hmm. And so this notion of coming at this with a very client-centric vision, but also the humility to sort of look at what we've done well mm-hmm. and build on it and look at where we've screwed things up or not invested appropriately and be humble enough to say we're going to fix that. I think that's become a key characteristic of Applied's culture, and I think that's mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've really built a culture that just breeds innovation, first and foremost. And you've really built a really great, kind culture of people.
Yeah.
People that really enjoy coming here to work. And I mean, they really do. It's very different in that way, in a positive way. And I think it's hard. It says a lot to you as a leader. I mean, you're hands down an awesome leader. I mean, throughout this whole conversation, you've brought up so much about leadership and there's so many great nuggets. And this is how you are all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you prepped for this or whatever. This is just who you are. And I think it's pretty amazing being here and being involved in it. And then for the listeners too, everybody keep in mind, I had no golden handcuffs. I didn't have to be here.
No.
Zero.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so I'm here because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And everybody's here because they enjoy it. And even when we acquire companies, the handcuffs are not really there.
No.
You know?
And, you know, that's one of the things that I'm really proud of is, you know, we have made, I don't know, 8 or 9 acquisitions since I've been here.
Yep.
And of those entrepreneurial founders, all but one of them, mm-hmm. all but the leaders and founders of those companies, except for one company, are still here.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're not handcuffed.
Mm-mm.
And what we said to them when we were thinking about buying the company is, we are trying to be humble enough to invite you in as an entrepreneur and criticize us and mm-hmm. help us understand what you saw from outside Applied that were our vulnerabilities or our opportunities that we weren't seeing. And we want you to come here and play on a bigger stage. We want mm-hmm. you to come here and bring 100%. That critical view, that entrepreneurial spirit, that walking in our clients' shoes, because so many of them come from the industry. And it's a great statement for a 40-year-old company now to be able to bring entrepreneurs in and have them elect to stay.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're like telling us we're awesome. A lot of times you and I have hard conversations about, hey, dude, we're screwing this up, or mm-hmm. we're not doing this well, or we need to do this differently. But I think it's a hallmark of our cultural shift and our mindset toward innovation and humility when you can bring entrepreneurs like that in and 100%. Have them elect to stay.
Yep.
And look at all of them progress and be in bigger roles and That's having awesome. More influence than they had when they got here.
It's so good. And, you know, I talk to so many startups all the time and they know it. They see it. And a lot of them are looking to, hey, that's their exit in the future because that's kind of the next step of their career.
Yeah.
Like, I've had these conversations with so many out there.
Yeah.
You know, they want to sell their business to this organization because of the culture
yeah.
and because of what you've built. It's awesome.
You know, most big companies buy things and screw them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes intentionality and hard work to
yep.
buy something and actually create value from
yep.
it. And, you know, that's what we're, you know, we build a lot of awesome things here. So we always want to be an organic R&D shop as well. But when you find that right opportunity to buy something where either the talent augments your capabilities, mm-hmm. the product accelerates your roadmap, and you can put it into the rest of the suite and bring it to clients. I mean, you know, buying things isn't always the answer.
Yeah.
But if you're smart about what you buy and then you're good at integrating and mm-hmm. actually making those founders and those people feel like they're at home, you can create real value through that.
Well, I mean, Applied, and I'm just saying this because I'm involved in it, is very, very smart about the acquisitions that we make. Mm-hmm. We're not just buying stuff to buy stuff either.
Yeah.
And a big part of it is that culture. We've looked at businesses, and I've been involved in this, where great product, good leadership team, but the business was a mess.
Yeah.
And in order to buy that, we would have to let go a lot of people. And although we could have bought that, we could have done that, we said, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
no, it's just not.
No, I mean, we say no to 10 times more than we say yes, maybe even 20 times more, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think also importantly for Applied, though, when I first got here, you know, remember that sort of, I had to convince people we were ready to play to win again.
Yeah.
And that we had the right backing from our investors to play to win. And one of the first decisions we made, I was only 6 months into the company, is we said, look, at the time, Indio was doing very well in the market as kind of one of the top insurtech properties out there because they were solving real problems in the commercial line space. Mm-hmm. And we said, look, we think Indio will be better. It will be better together if it's a part of the overall agency management ecosystem we have here.
Yep.
In our ability to invest behind it, in our ability to put it into the right distribution model. And we went and reached for it, right? We didn't pay a cheap price for Indio. At the time, valuations were different than they are today, but that was a risk, you know, and I'm so thankful at the time the board, I was brand new to our board and our investors, and they chose to back that decision with a lot of diligence behind it, but they chose to back that because they understood the power of the message, both internally to Team Applied, as well as to the market. Mm-hmm. Hey, we are here to play to win. We're here to innovate. We're here to take risk on behalf of our clients.
Yep.
And that was a spark, right? That I remember talking to a lot of our team after that. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
We never expected Applied to do something like that. Yeah. And I remember that decision, but that was a sweaty decision as well, because I'm the brand new guy. I'm like, well, what if this is the wrong decision? But it turned out to be the right one.
Yeah,
and it
absolutely
turned out to be the spark that I think set us on this tempo and this momentum of getting back into a leadership role.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're doing it, man. I mean, the business is crushing it. I mean, you're taking down bigger and bigger customers. I mean, it's just insane.
Well, I think it's because we're focused on client value. I mean, honestly, it's not because they don't have other choices. It's because I hope what they see in us is we're not perfect. We still have a lot of work to do on our product portfolio. You know, we're modernizing technology that's now, you know, 20 years old. We have gaps.
Yep.
So they're not seeing us as like the perfect. They're seeing us as an honest, caring, humble partner who will do what we say we will do for them and continue to deliver better solutions for them. So I think the ultimate compliment in the market is when somebody chooses to come to you from somewhere else and when your current clients choose to stay and buy more things from you over time. And that's humbling. That's a lot of responsibility. We know that the trust that our clients put in us is not trivial. And so, you know, it's just that being that humble to say again, man, I got to earn that every day. Mm-hmm. I got to build a team and a company and a culture that can earn that every day and not be perfect, but be getting better along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about the technology. You know, a lot of people would say, and you know, this is a touchy subject, but a lot of people say, oh, it takes so long and blah, 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 blah. I mean, talk a little bit about that. I mean, just the transformation. I mean, I would say that there's been a few transformations here. There's the Applied transformation, the culture and everything you've done there.
Yeah.
But then there's also Epic transformation,
you know?
So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, technology is a funny thing, right? It's complex. And the older it gets, the more tech debt you pile up over time. What is tech debt? Tech debt is suboptimal decisions that are made along the way to do something you know you have to do, but you'll pay the price for it later on, right? It's like credit card debt, right? I want that pair of shoes. I don't have the cash now, so I'm going to put it on that credit card, but I know I'm going to have to pay interest on that debt later on down the road. Technology is the same way. And, you know, one of the things that was very daunting for me as I was doing my initial diligence from outside Applied, and quite frankly, one of the reasons I almost didn't take the job, was there was a lot of tech debt here. And this industry has a lot of tech debt because we're operating off of sometimes on the carrier side, 40-year-old systems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, same on the agency side. There is a lot of technology that was built in the late 90s, early 2000s, up to 2010, pre-cloud, pre-really, you know, modern internet architecture. And over time, those systems have been built on and built on and built on and built on. And that tech debt piles up. And the complexity then of unraveling and paying off the tech debt. So, you know, 4 years ago, we set out here to say, look, one of the fundamental missions, if we're going to become more valuable for our clients, if we can become more innovative, we got to pay that tech debt off. And a lot of that's just hard, strap the tool belt on, you know, go bring your pick and your shovel to work. And your clients can't appreciate it and see it for a while because it takes a long time to chip away and to rebuild things and re-architect and re-platform. And we've made a ton of progress over the last few years, but we still have more to go. You know, we're at a stage now where we are hiring many, many, many smart software developers this year because we're finally at the point where we have taken care of a lot of that tech debt where they can start to work in new modern environments and accelerate our pace of R&D and deliver more value to our clients. I was really proud, you know, at our last AppliedNet in Vegas in October, we were able to unveil some real value adds inside of Epic and inside of EasyLinks that came because of all the work we've done on transforming the technology. So more to come on that. I think the more tech debt we're able to pay off and retire and get into modern cloud-based systems, the faster we can go on innovation, the more value we can create for our clients. So look, that's not a trivial task.
No.
You know, Epic is a very broad, very complex system that does a million things for an insurance agency or brokerage. Rebuilding all of that is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I totally empathize with our clients. I get awesome emails from some great clients whose names I won't share here because I didn't ask for permission, but they're like, why don't you go faster? Why? Yeah. But they're awesome people. They're giving us good feedback. And oftentimes I'm like, hey, we will be. And frankly, if you look back 24 months, we are.
Yep.
We're just not where you want us to be yet, but we will be because we are fully committed to that and investing a ton of money into doing it.
No, it's the same. Like, you know, on the Ivan side, we had to do the same thing. And now, just now, a few years later, we're able to start to build cool stuff.
Yeah. When you talk about Ivan's, right, it was early 2000s, maybe late 90s technology, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 And had not been invested.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Dusty.
Things break a lot.
Yeah.
People go, hey, why can't you go change that button over here? It's so simple. And you're like, to do that, I got to go back and rewire code that touches 1,000 other things. It'll take me a year. And I mean, how frustrating is that
for
us and for our clients, right?
It's tough, man. Yeah. It was tough. It's been... for me, this has been a huge learning curve. So many things. I've learned so much. Being around you and your leadership style and just, you know, what you've done for this organization and then just dealing with the slog of Ivan's and you know, doing the Ivan's transformation, right?
Yeah, right?
And then, you know, the tech. It's been good, but it's the same. I mean, all this stuff is really coming together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's amazing.
You know, you had the courage and the foresight as a leader to go do the transformation on the technology side. And now on the Ivan side, look, Ivan's in the market when I first got here, it was like, I don't know, man, it's AL3 technology from the 80s.
Yeah.
That's good for one thing only. And that's like shipping changes to a policy, you know, one way down to the carrier or down to the agency. And you had a vision for it to become something so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ivan's distribution platform, creating not only connectivity, but value add in other ways. And you had to go through, like you had to bite your, you had to bite your impatience back a little bit.
Yeah,
I got to go rebuild a lot of the tech first.
Yep.
So good leadership. And I think you've got Ivan's now in a place where it is a much better asset for the industry and has so much future potential for the industry.
So much. So what does the future look like, Taylor? Next few years.
Predicting the future is a fool's game, Reed. If I could predict the future, I would go to Vegas and I wouldn't be talking to you. Look, I mean, I think you could start big. I mean, the world's a fraught place right now, right? The world, I have kids who are now, you know, in their early 20s and late teens, and I watch my kids and how stressed out they are about this world. And there's so much uncertainty. You've got the war in Europe now, war in the Middle East, you've got tensions with Russia and China, you've got climate change, you've got, you know, no matter what side of the spectrum of the aisle you're on, the climate is changing.
Okay? Yeah, right.
And, you know, that, you know, you've got cyber threats, you've got, is the U.S. economy going to work for, you know, the next generation? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the world's a very uncertain and stressful place. And so that has impact on business, right? In our industry, it both is a blessing and a curse. We've seen the insurers have to pull back from key markets like Florida and California due to climate change risk. We've seen the birth, on the other hand, opportunity of new lines like cyber that, you know, that are opportunities for us to serve our industry better and protect our clients in new ways. We have a U.S. election coming up this year that's going to be a pretty interesting one. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump won very handily in Iowa, the Iowa caucuses last night. You know, so you've got this sort of, I'll put my personal editorial out that we as the greatest democracy in the world are putting the choice of Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. And I personally just wish we had better choices.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, I don't say that to be a smart ass at all.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the leadership in this world?
That's,
you know,
right.
Where are our statesmen and women who are bringing a bold vision and inspiring a nation and bringing us along? And, you know, that's frustrating to watch the lack of leadership and how broken our government is, especially at a time when global risk is increasing. So, you know, what's the future? I generally tend to be an optimistic person, even though everything I just said would tell you I'm a pessimist. I am optimistic because I think humans generally have the spark of the divine in them. and are created to do great things. And when you give them the opportunity within the right culture, they'll rise up and they'll do the great things. And so for Applied, that means we want to be a place in this crazy world that is a safe harbor for our folks, where if they're willing to be, you know, bring their smarts and a good attitude and hard work and a determination to be a good teammate, they're going to do great here. And in return, creating that cultural opportunity for them, it will convert to them wanting to serve our clients better. And so for me, that's in this crazy world, I go, hey, what difference can I make? Well, I think I can make a difference for 3,000 plus people serving hundreds of thousands of you know, people and users and thousands of agencies and carriers out there. I think we can make a difference by becoming a place that is even better at engaging people who want to do awesome things and deliver value. And that's my little way to add value in this world.
That's awesome, man. If you could change one thing in insurance, Taylor, what would you change?
We talk a lot about the chicken and egg problem.
Right? Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
Look, I mean, it's an interesting industry because it does work in two parts, right? There's the people who make insurance and there's the people who distribute insurance.
Yep.
And when I first got here, you know, one of the things I had to learn about this industry is that's a complex setup. And I would, you know, go and visit large agency customers and they'd say, you know, we want this from the carriers and you guys are the ones who can build the technology and the connected workflows that do that. And I say, man, that sounds awesome. Let me go talk to the carriers. And the carriers go, well, I don't want to spend money building that until I see the agency demand. And we'd go back to the agency and go, they don't want to build it yet. So will you tell them, no, I'm not willing to train my people on that until it's a full service product. So the carrier's got to move first. And I'd be like, do you hear what you're saying, people? You know, but I get it, right? Change is, is hard and it can be costly. But that's the chicken and egg problem. We need to see this industry become more focused on becoming a modern online industry where things like digital e-trading, which is better for the end client, can speed things up, take cost out of both the agency and the broker side of the market, you know, enable them to make decisions faster, win more business, renew more business. That takes connectivity and it takes the full, what we call the digital round trip of insurance. And if I do one thing in this industry, I'm going to keep pounding on that rock until it cracks, because I think that's a better insurance experience for everybody in the industry.
It's getting there though, man. We're seeing it. We're starting to see it. Yeah. We are. I think that the carriers and the agencies and us and technology companies are starting to come together.
Yeah.
And they're all coming together. Agencies are talking to agencies, carriers are talking to carriers for the betterment of the industry. So it's starting to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's and that's our mission here is how do we make this industry better for everyone who interacts with it through, you know, intelligent use of tech.
Taylor Rhodes, folks. Man, well, this episode was special. This one was very different. It was different for me in that I've lived this. I've been a part of this for the last few years, and this has been a big part of my life. I think it really gave a view into what's really going on at Applied. People can really see that. And after the first episode dropped, I got tons and tons and tons of people reaching out with such positive feedback on it. And it's funny, we kind of take it for granted because we live it every day. But for people to really understand and get in Taylor's head and really get to understand him as a person, the guy is a true leader, real leader, and a good leader, not a bad one. You know, it doesn't mean just because you're a leader doesn't make you good. It's a really, really good guy. And just everything throughout his, all of his experience from the Marines all the way up until now, it just proves that. And, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, Applied's a different animal. It really is. When I came to Applied, I would not still be here if it was the old Applied. Seriously. And as I've said before, I never had any golden handcuffs. Everything that was said in this podcast was 100% the truth, and none of it was scripted or anything. We literally sat down in the office and just started talking. So it goes to show you what type of company culture a person like Taylor can build. It's amazing. It really has been amazing. And I think it's a, for me, it was a lot of reflection on that after this and listening to this. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. And I think it was, it's been a lot of work, you know, but yeah, Taylor's badass. He really is. And I'm not kissing his ass. So hey, I'll say this too. I really enjoy digging into the leadership side and really getting to know people in that way. I think it's really beneficial for everyone. And it's beneficial for me just even listening to. It makes me a better leader. And I feel like if that's helping me, it's going to help you, the listeners as well. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to dig in there. We're going to dig into other things too that are not as typical for an insurance technology podcast. You know, I think at some point this year, we'll get into things like mental health and stuff like that. I think it's all very, very important for all of us as leaders that are listening to this. And so, yeah, I can't say enough. I thought it was definitely one of my favorite just because of how close I've been to it. And it was a lot of fun.
The Insurance Technology Podcast is a production of Ivins. Visit InsureTechPod.com to contact us, suggest a topic or guest for an upcoming show, and subscribe to be notified when our latest podcast is available. You can find all our episodes in your favorite podcast app. It's where you can also leave us a rating and a review that helps other people find the show. Thanks for listening.